I think we polled lots of folks who've been in church listening to Scripture read for years and years and asked them, where in the Gospels do you think Jesus is the most confrontational? Many, if not most, of the folks would respond, that time that he throws the money changers out of the temple. Some might go on to depict the scene as it's described by Matthew, Mark, and Luke, including Jesus overthrowing tables and sending live animals and coins scattering and clattering through the temple breezeway. Others would probably recount John's version of this same incident, where Jesus goes a bit farther than merely overturning tables and running off sheep and sales folks. The version is described like this. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, take these things out of here! Exclamation point. Stop making my father's house a marketplace again! Exclamation point. And while we need to be wary about interjecting Jesus' thoughts and emotions in places that we don't have words in Scripture that describe what Jesus is thinking or feeling, in this instance, it seems that we're probably safe to say that Jesus is unhappy and maybe even downright mad. A whip of cords does sound pretty severe, thus lending many of us to think of this as the time that Jesus was most confrontational with those who had taken temple procedures to a place that was not in keeping with what God intended. And yet, today's reading from Matthew describes another encounter between Jesus and those in the temple. And it may be all the more scathing, in part because the beratement is subtle. In this instance, unlike a couple of weeks ago, Jesus is much more southern in his way of handling the situation at hand, at least in our eyes. If we're not paying careful attention, we might miss the sleight of hand, or in this case, the sleight of tongue, if for no other reason but we don't expect this of Jesus, this seemingly nuanced and guarded parley aimed at those who claim to be children of God. Rest assured, nuanced and guarded is not how the temple leaders heard these words of Jesus. For them, they were direct and inflammatory. And perhaps they should be for us as well. Jesus is confronting those in power and revealing their misguided intent. And as is so often the case with Jesus and the Father who sent him, the preconceived an acceptable order is turned on its ear. Do any of you remember ant farms? Okay, for those of you who are under 50, I'm about to describe for you something that sounds absolutely bizarre, mostly because it is. For those of us between 50 and 65-ish, when we were kids, one of our most desired Christmas and maybe even birthday presents was an ant farm. That is, if you were smart and wanted science experiments for gifts. It was comprised of two pieces of plexiglass held in an easel-like frame. It was about yay by yay, not very big. I hate to admit this, but I have no idea at a time before two-day Amazon Prime how we got the ants. They were housed in sand, in between these two sheets of plexiglass. I know we did not go outside and gather these ants like we did fireflies, because if we did, I would remember that. Anyway, the point of the ant farm was to watch the ants in action, making tunnels and doing all the wonderful hard work that ants do. Okay, you gotta remember, this is a time when we had a sum total of 3 television channels, and there was no such thing as the internet. Watching ants build tunnels was much more exciting back then. The problem with the ant farm was that if you had a cat, or were just clumsy and the ant farm got knocked over. If that happened, all the amazing tunnels and hard works of the ants was destroyed. The whole thing was a wreck. All the order and organization, long waiting and predictability of purpose was gone, demolished. It would be like throwing your smartphone under a speeding subway train. All expectations of normal life gone in that one instance. And you know, I think that was the experience of the folks who were absolutely certain of how things should be, absolutely sure of their rightness, who encountered Jesus in the temple, and also of those who are listening to what he has to say today. To what will I compare this generation? It's like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, "We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating or drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." Jesus basically says here, you guys are just not going to be happy. You cannot have it both ways. You have found fault with everyone sent by God. They either don't eat or don't drink, or they do eat and do drink, and either way you find fault with them and what they do and with whom. As Tom Schaefer would say, you'd be unhappy if we hung you with a new rope. Then Jesus adds a prayer that really had to frost those who valued their education and held their intellect and station above the heads of the everyday temple goers. "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such is your gracious will. And by now, the temple leaders are beyond furious. Jesus has just insulted them in a prayer. It takes an unbelievable amount of guts to stand right there in the midst of those in power and call out their inadequacies in a prayer. But Jesus never backs down. He doesn't step away from his ministry of turning over the ant farm or throwing the iPhone under the subway train and ushering in the kingdom of God. And we may have clung tightly onto the last three verses from this reading today. They are words of comfort to many, but not so much for those of us of privilege. Come to me, all that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus did not say those words to assuage the irate temple leaders, nor to comfort those who are already comfortable, but to encourage and strengthen those who truly have a heavy burden and a heavy yoke. For many, I imagine, the yoke of Jesus feels quite difficult and the burden anything but light. But that need not be the case. If we're certain of our rightness and privilege, as were the temple leaders to whom Jesus spoke, then we may find ourselves accosted by the words of Jesus. But if we're open to the possibilities posed by a commitment to Jesus and to each other, then the words of Jesus offer us hope. Maybe shaking up the ant farm or throwing the smartphone under the train is just what we need to awaken us to follow Jesus. Amen.